Hey everyone, welcome to the Backloggery Game Club. Each month, members of the Backloggery.com website vote for a game and a selection of people play through it. This month we played Mark of the Ninja. Tonight I'm joined by a group of upstanding members of the Backloggery community. I'm joined by BGRX.
Hello.
Drumble.
Good evening.
And Sobo. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
So tonight is actually the eve of E3, but this next week's about to be crazy. Let's forget about all that. Let's talk about the stuff we've been playing lately. BG, what have you been playing?
Oh, well, lately my PlayStation 3 broke, so I have a game that I've prepared, and that allowed me to move on to some other systems I wouldn't normally be playing. I've been playing Alan Wake on 360.
Great game.
Which, yeah, I'm really enjoying it. And then I had been playing Front Mission 3 on my Vita, the PlayStation 1 Classic, which is a lot longer than I thought it was. I had planned, I was going to be like, well, I'll just beat that and then start Mark of the Ninja. And then I actually went and looked at how long it was, and they said, yeah, that's not happening.
I've never actually played beyond the first mission in it. It's very much like Final Fantasy Tactics, right?
Yeah. You kind of have the like Fire Emblem types where there's less missions but they're longer, and this is, I would say, more like Tactics, where there's more like a zillion, potentially short little encounters.
And you can modify and upgrade what are they called again? What are the name of the mechs?
Well, I think they're supposed to be, using the German pronunciation, which would be Bonzers.
Oh, okay. That's cool. It's very, it has like a, like there's a niche of people that really like that game, really love it. Never played any other ones of the series either.
I haven't either. I did play a little bit of Front Mission 4 when I got that, and I started that, and I was like, okay, now I know this used game that I bought works, and now I'm not going to touch it again until I get through Front Mission 3. And then also, I haven't started on this yet, but I had pre-ordered Resident Evil Revelations, the PC version.
Oh, cool.
So I've not gotten around to that. But, so almost nullifying the point of pre-ordering. But
because it's been out for something like a month now or something.
Yeah.
You a big fan of the series?
Kind of a love-hate thing, but I heard good things about this one in particular.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty decent. I played it on the 3DS, but I upgraded my version to the to an HD. But the controls were kind of weird. But at least from the demo, it seemed like that. Anyways, I'm glad you're liking Alan Wake too. That was one of my favorite Xbox games. Great soundtrack.
Yeah.
One of the best licensed soundtracks, I think, ever. All right. Drum, what have you been playing?
Oh, I've been all over the place lately. A little Fire Emblem, little Scrolls, and of course a little Animal Crossing today.
Yeah, Animal Crossing is taking Twitter by storm, I think.
Yes, my entire feed has just become Animal Crossing, whose town is open, who's got fruit.
Mm-hmm. I know you just did it before, but I was kind of dealing with other stuff. Can you kind of go in depth about Scrolls a little bit more?
Sure. It's a card collecting game by Mojang, the makers of Minecraft. has a, it's similar to Magic the Gathering, only it has more of a board game strategy. There's a hex grid. Both sides of the field have five totems they have to protect. If three of your totems get taken out, you lose, and you win if you take out the opponents. And, you know, you draw your scrolls, and they place various units or spells on the field, and they attack directly in front of them, and you can reposition them as the fight goes on. So it's a whole lot of strategy. It's really, really fun. I'm enjoying it, and I'm enjoying zapping bears, bunnies with chain lightning.
You're an evil, evil man. They're harmless bun-buns. Why would you do that?
Is there any single-player aspect to it?
There are trial missions that are... They're basically like 25 or so challenge matches that put you at progressively harder handicaps. I'm on the hard set right now, and they are insane. One of them, the enemy starts with a golem that is like triple the strength that any card would usually be in the game.
Jeez. So it how is. Do you deal with that?
I don't right now. I'm still trying to figure that out. I have a card in my deck that is supposed to insta-kill any unit I target with them, but it didn't freaking work on that golem. And, that was most unfair.
Jeez. Well, is it doing well? Is there a lot of people really into it? Is it going to be... I mean, it's pretty much impossible that it can't follow up Minecraft success, but do you think that it's going to... there's a lot of people really into it?
It seems pretty active right now. It's still... It just hit open beta, so it's not even officially released yet, depending on how you want to consider those things. But I saw them tweet they'd hit 25,000 sales in the first couple of days.
Oh, nice.
So they're doing pretty good.
And it's good because it's through, like, they're just selling it themselves. Or,
right.
Instead of going through any kind of service or anything.
But yeah, supposedly they're going to be adding a full campaign mode down the road. So that'll be fun to play.
They're going to kind of do what they did with Minecraft and just constantly add to it.
Yeah.
It seems like a really good approach. Did you have to pay for it, like, right out? Or did you... I mean, can you pay, like, a certain price now, and then you are good for the whole time?
Right. It's $20 right now. I don't know if they're going to increase that like they did with Minecraft when it hits the actual official release.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't be surprised if they do. That seems to be their model.
Yeah. Probably depends on how well it's doing, too.
Yeah, but you get free updates in perpetuity for as far as I know.
Nice.
I know they're going to, right now there's three different factions you can get cards for, and they're going to add a fourth before too long here.
It seems like there's probably a lot of potential.
Yeah. Have you ever played any kind of game like that?
Not really, no.
If you like strategy games at all, I would recommend looking into it. It's really interesting.
I think that I have a hard time with strategy games, like thinking so far ahead.
Mm.
I like the worlds and I like the idea of them, but I'm so bad at them once I actually try to play them. So, I mean, it's something that I'm sure that I will eventually try, but whether I'll be any good at it and stick it out, probably, it's anybody's guess.
Yeah. I mean, it's a genre I've always been interested in. This is basically my first one. I've played, like, Flash games that were just free, little no-name version kind mm-hmm. of things before. But I like this because, you know, like Magic the Gathering, aside from, like, having to find people to play against locally and stuff, there's also the pay for cards things, which just a horrible money sink.
Yeah, seriously. But with
something like Scrolls, they have a storefront where you can pay real money or in-game money, but the balance seems perfectly fine to get cards with in-game money. So I think it's going to work out well.
That's a good way to deal with it, where people can... Do you have an advantage if you use real money? Like, can you move through it faster?
Like, get better stuff? You could get rare cards faster,
mm-hmm.
but it's not like you can just view the store of all the cards in the game and buy whatever you want. They have like a rotating selection, or you can buy a pack of random cards.
Oh, I see.
So, I mean, you would have to be slightly crazy to just hop on there with your credit card and buy random packs until you get what you want.
Yeah.
But that would also expedite things immensely over playing multiple matches to get pittances for gold to buy your cards.
Sure.
Because you only get gold for the first 5 player versus player matches you play every day, and playing against the AI bots, you have to play like 10 matches just to be able to buy one pack of 10 cards.
So the trials give you good rewards when you clear them, but you only get it the first time you clear each trial. But, I mean, I've cleared maybe like 15 trials now, and I'm overflowing with cards right now. I started with the energy pack, and there's order and growth to branch out to, and I'm close to being able to build a solo deck in both of those. So
that's cool. It seems, you know, it takes that collector's aspect to it.
Yeah. Yeah, and we've all been trading with each other and stuff. It's got a nice little community. There's maybe, a half a dozen backloggers playing it right now that I've seen.
That's pretty decent turnout, especially since it's been out since for a week or so.
Yeah.
6 or 8 of them from my count, yeah. But that's also depending on who's active or not, and you know how we are.
Yeah.
On that note, Sobo, what have you been playing?
Well, I'll mention Guild Wars 2 first and foremost, just to get that beaten drum out of the way. It's still an addiction. It's still there. So I finally hit my max leveled character for the first time in an MMO, so yay me. But
that's a lot of staying power for you. How long have you been playing it for?
There's a handy dandy little command in the game for that. You have played this character for 124 hours, 55 minutes over 3 months across all 219 hours, 13 minutes over 3 months.
Oh, wow.
I did not know that was a command.
Yeah, it's slash age.
I'm not going to use that.
Though. Yeah.
Because it would be wrong and it record all the time. You were idling on the game too, right?
Oh, that too.
But now the major games I've been playing lately are Double Dragon Neon and Penny Arcade's Rainslick Precipice of Darkness 4.
Which you mentioned earlier that you had finished today.
I literally beat that like a half hour ago.
Yeah, it was... Have you played them all up to this point?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Is this the best one?
Yes and no.
Yes,
because it's like... Every idea they've taken from all their prior RPGs, the board games, was able to make this one like better. Mm-hmm. You know, every successive game, the experience gets richer for it. But I kind of liked the way they did the class system in 3 more than this one, because you can't fight with the characters from 3. For a plot reason, so instead you have to recruit monsters from throughout the game and use them in battle. And
really?
The characters end up becoming like trainers.
Mm-hmm.
There's a huge Pokemon analogy here, which they spoof in the game right down to a Team Rocket trio.
Right.
But the monsters end up becoming the party members, and when you equip the trainers like Gabe and Moira to the monsters, they'll get certain stat bonuses at level up, like Final Fantasy VI Espers, mm-hmm. and they get a certain set of skills from that character, which lets you customize each of the monsters as you play however you want.
Are they all connected so far?
Yeah. All four games?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's no carryover from 3 to 4 like there was 1 to 2.
Okay.
But other than that, everything else, the plot, the characters, all the entire set of Jimmy Jam, it's all interconnected.
It's pretty serious that they could get that much. So many hours out of the material that they're writing. Exactly. These characters.
Well, it is over for what it's worth, but
yeah, so this one does nice. Really good.
Yeah. Yeah. Over the past 2 days, I put like 16 hours into it.
That's a really good length for an RPG, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, it makes me think of you know, Chrono Trigger is right around like 20 hours, and it's like a perfect length for such a thing.
Depending on if you faff about or not, anywhere from 15 to 30 is a really solid length for an RPG. And this one is longer than the prior ones I've played from them. Those ones I was able to just play through and beat in 10 to 12 hours.
Mm-hmm.
But that's also because Zaboy does things so differently, to the point where, like, it's linear as heck. There's not much side questing or random stuff to discover. And all the anti-frustration features, like after every battle, your party's fully restored. Your items rejuvenate, but they're important potions now. They're not just, buy 300 minor potions and spam those and grind for more and all that.
Right.
So it really speeds up the entire process, which I found good and bad.
Yeah, but I mean, it helps streamline it to the point where you can finish it in 16 hours then.
Exactly. You don't need to plan ahead, like, I got work on this day and I got to take care of the kids on this day, and then I can put 3 hours into the 60-hour RPG on Friday.
Yeah.
You know, it's convenient, and I think that's important for games these days.
Nice. And you said earlier that you had been playing Double Dragon Neon, which is a game that was one of my top 10 from last year. Just absolutely loved it. I think I saw you mention that you'd finished it in an afternoon or something.
A single sitting, yeah.
I think that says a lot about, I mean, I've seen people really say that they didn't like it at all.
What?
Yeah, people like what? Some people have really, really hated it.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of mixed things about it.
It's just really fun, and it's funny, and it's got an awesome soundtrack. And
those people are clearly crazy, because this game was bliss.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a really solid, well-made beat 'em up.
Mm-hmm.
And those are very rare now.
Beat 'em ups in general are very rare. Good beat 'em ups are diamonds in the rough.
Yeah.
Which I lament heavily, considering the 16-bit era's pedigree for good beat 'em ups.
Yeah, exactly. And now I think the only disappointment with the game is the lack of online co-op, which they were supposed to be patching in, but I hope it's not going to be like a Scott Pilgrim situation where that patch comes out 4 years after the fact.
Years later, you got to pay for it because they're bundling it with additional DLC because of Microsoft's draconian, asinine policies.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
At that point, nobody even cares, anyways.
I'd rather just hope that it gets a PC port.
Right.
Because that seems to be the hip thing to do. And WayForward made it, right?
Yep.
Yeah, well, they're already trying to get some of their other games on Steam, so I don't see a problem there.
Well, hopefully it happens.
Yeah, because this game, it needs to be experienced by people.
Yeah.
I'm sad I played it solo, so I couldn't experience the awesome of high-fiving my bro to get health back, or doing double techs or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But just a single-player experience alone at the gameplay was really simple to pick up, but it was complex enough to where you could tell the difference between like amateur beat 'em ups, where all you do is smash one button, to complex ones. Like, I thought of Gunstar Heroes. They give you the skill set, you just have to learn it, because otherwise the game's going to be as hard as you are good.
Right. And then you can modify your move set. or not mm-hmm. moveset, but your certain things with like the different audio cassettes and stuff.
Yeah, your stat build and your special ability with cassette tapes that drop.
Yeah, which all have their own songs that play when you go to them.
Every one of them's got like a 30-second ditty that was in the soundtrack retro game music bundle released.
Yeah,
and every one of them is thematic to like an 80s archetype and associates itself with the skill build. Like one of the special abilities called Healing Touch, which you can heal your ally by using it. Sure enough, it's like a Lionel Richie sappy 80s love song for the track when it plays in the menu.
Yeah. It's a great game. It's a great game, and I hope that... I think some people thought it was automatically bad because when it first came out, it was given away as a freebie on for PlayStation Plus. So they automatically took that as
a... Oh, it's freeware. It's bad. I can't trust this. They're not charging money for it.
Right. From day one.
If you have PlayStation Plus.
Yeah.
But the people who complain about that are also going to be the kind of people who complain about games being too pricey to begin with, so we can just ignore them. Oh, what? $3 for an iPhone game? Harumph. It has to be 99 cents or nothing at all.
Yeah. All right. So just like briefly, I know this, it'll be old news by the time that this even is released, but does anyone have any hopes and fears for E3?
That I won't have enough money to buy everything they release.
How about all your games not being able to be played when next generation comes around?
That's a huge fear too.
That's my...
What is the world coming to?
I know I've gone on about this, and it's like I might even just like cut this out of the whole thing, but it just... I am not going to... If either one of them have to check in, the systems have to check in, I'm, like, done with anything that has to do that. I understand that Steam kind of has to do it, but at least things are so... At least you know that they're always going to be playable on whatever PC that you have, I think, is a big thing for me.
Mm-hmm. You just have to have your authenticator go through your email, and they verify the computer. And I'm like, all right, yeah, cool, it's you. Go ahead, go nuts.
Yeah, but I mean, I think there's not going to be another version of Steam that comes out where everything that you had from the previous version of Steam won't carry over. Does that make sense? No.
If you're comparing this to the 360 and the Xbox One.
Mm-hmm.
Then yeah, no. Just even from the standpoint that it's on the PC and it's just a piece of software.
Right.
Well, I mean, the worry there would be that Microsoft continues down the path they've started with Windows 8, and you know, Windows 9 is all App Store, and Steam gets crowded out, I don't think they... It's a legitimate concern, but I don't think there's any danger of that happening because the Windows 8 App Store is a graveyard of crap that no one cares about.
Well, if it had been successful, they certainly would have tried it.
Yeah, and Valve was obviously very concerned about it since they did that big Linux push a while back.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, there's comparisons to be drawn between the Xbox One and Steam, but Steam has online DRM, but it does everything right along with it. It has amazing sales. It has a 30-day offline mode instead of a 24-hour one.
Which is so stupid.
And... You know, maybe they're full of crap when they say this, but I love Val's promise that, you know, if one day they have to take the servers online, they'll release a patch to disable the online tech so you can archive your games locally and just keep playing them.
Right. And they wouldn't even have to go through anybody else probably to do that. They just do it within their, make it so that their application.
Right. And I mean, if they're smart, I assume that, you know, anyone that publishes the game on Steam has agreed in their little contract, I'm sure they have to sign that, you know, if that Valve has permission to do that if that day ever comes.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting. I think with the way that it is now, I'm definitely not getting Xbox One. And this is coming from somebody who's, since the, since 16-bit, I've gotten every single system. And this will be the first time that I haven't gotten every of the major players. Actually, you know, I guess I didn't get the TurboGrafx-16, but...
debatable was that really that was a major player.
Yeah.
Exactly, Jerome. When I think of that era, I think of just two systems.
Yeah.
Two juggernauts, and then a bunch of other people who didn't get into get exposed to a bunch of people.
Right. I was also 11, so I guess it's forgivable.
Yeah. This whole online DRM enabled console, no use games, all that stuff, it's kind of fascinating for me because, like, I've always been PC and Nintendo systems.
Yeah.
So far, this hasn't affected me directly at all. So it's just this fascinating thing to watch from my little sideline here. And, like, part of me, like, I'm super interested to see if people will hold their ground and not buy the Xbox once, you know, whatever big name, Halo 5, whatever it is, that, you know, Microsoft is going to have some exclusive that people want to play.
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, it's put up or shut up for your little no thanks boycott people are talking about here. And if Sony does it too, then it's just going to be fascinating to watch. Last gen, me and Xavier were all like, okay, we're just going to buy the Wii and use our PCs and it'll be great. And then Metal Gear Solid 4 was announced and Tri just cracked like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, that wasn't really a principled stand to take against the PS3. It was just trying to cut back kind of thing.
Right. But as soon as he sees something, it's like, oh, it's going to be last. It's the end of the story.
There's a lot of rumors that Sony's going to be doing the same thing Microsoft is now. So I find it hard to believe people will be able to stay away if both of them go that route. If one of them do, I could see them getting kicked to the curb. But if both, like... You'd like to see, like, people, like, swarm over to PC and the Wii U and really send a message, but I don't think that would happen.
Yeah.
One can dream.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the only thing that they need to do is say that it doesn't need to check in. The system doesn't need to check in, essentially. Or it doesn't need to activate the games. I mean, I just don't want it to have to... When those servers are offline... One day that nothing is able, like the used game stuff, I don't really have much of an opinion about because I almost never buy used games, I guess, especially since they drop in price so much now. But I think if it has to check in, I mean, I love to play my old systems. And what I think is going to be really interesting is, in a way, that it puts a time limit on how much time people have to play their games.
Mm.
And it makes you wonder if people that buy a ton of games that they know, oh, I don't have time for this, but I'll play it someday. Like, if it will make people eliminate their backlogs for the system going forward, I guess. Only buy the game that you're going to play right then. Because if you don't, you might never be able to play it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, like, you know, assuming the Xbox One comes out and it does at least decently well, will collectors just completely shun the system because what's the point? Or
I don't know.
Depending on whether or not they actually want to play it. There are some people who collect things just to literally have them sit around, so.
Right.
But the entire market of collectors and people who want the games and the system is going to drastically decrease because there's a complete loss of reassurance of once you have it, it's yours. And that's it.
Right.
Whatever you want to do with it, however you want to do with it, that they're taking that reassurance away. And it ruins it, not only for us, but for any future generations of people who are growing up now or later that want to try and go back to these older catalogs and play them.
Right. It's going to be a mess.
It's
depressing.
I mean, let's think here. You could roughly assume that they would keep previous systems like server support alive most of the way through the following generation. And I want to say that tends to be the way of things.
Well, how long did they wait into the 360 to turn off the servers for the original Xbox Live?
Oh, it was at least halfway into the life cycle.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to say they shut those off. And
but this was a long life cycle, too.
Either May of 2011 or 2012. And the Xbox came out in 2005, so it's a half a decade at least.
So if every system, if that pattern holds and every system ever made was like the Xbox One, we would only be able to play, what, like PS2? No, we would.
We'd be out of PS2.
Wouldn't be able to play PS2 games anymore right now?
Right.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah. And everything before that.
Everything before that.
Unless, of course, they happen to re-release it.
I'm sure that's what they'll do. But
it'll only be some of the games.
Play the games you already own without having to rebuy them.
Right.
Because, I mean, Sony has said, you know, we're going to try to, you know, make every game that we've ever had available in some form, you know, from now on. But, you know, obviously you're going to have to possibly rebuy all of them.
Yeah, or like just have a subscription to stream everything that you want. And I believe that works when I see it work.
I feel like I love Netflix Instant because like I enjoy movies, but I don't really, really care about movies.
Right.
I feel like I am way too involved in gaming to be happy to have an instant streaming service where my collection is nebulous, what I have access to is nebulous, it could go away at any time. Like, I want to always know I can play these games because they're my favorite games.
Yeah. Exactly. I think that's the reason a lot lately that ever since I think this whole thing has been on the radar with the announcement of the Xbox One, I have kind of not felt like playing anything new, really.
Mm.
I've really gotten into playing my old games in the best way that I possibly can, I guess.
With your fancy schmancy custom TV,
the upscaler
setup, upscaling. With a Genesis that's been modded for S-Video with the Master System attachment, getting your scan lines and all that other crazy stuff.
The upscaler actually isn't even S-Video, it's RGB. It's I had to get like a custom cable for it. And gives like a perfect RGB output from it. It's pretty crazy. It makes it look like you're I know it seems silly, but it makes it look like you're playing it on a CRT, but it's HD.
An HD CRT.
Yeah, but it's like pixel perfect, like the chunky perfectly angled pixels. It's pretty crazy. But I think that that's a lot of the reason that I've gotten back into doing stuff like that, because I just feel frustrated going forward. But we'll see what happens. Anyways, on to the Mark of the Ninja. You guys mind?
Yeah, let's do it.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, BG Arx, what is your what was your familiarity with this game before you played it?
Well, I had been on my wish list for a while, and I hadn't played it at all. Part of that, I had played the demo of it. I guess that was on Xbox. Because I don't think there is a demo on Steam. But I did end up getting the Steam version for this past month.
Oh, when it was cheap on Amazon, did you get it?
No, I wish. No.
Sobo, what about you? Did you know of its reputation before you'd played it?
I knew of its existence. And I knew of its developer because I had played Shank 1 on Steam.
Great game.
Yes, yes. You can definitely tell where that they're from the same developer, just because of the art style and how fluid the combats are.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew of it. I knew it was supposed to be a smash hit, but the only exposure I actually had to it was a couple of backloggers. They had started playing it, and they were talking about it on Twitter. So it's like one of those kind of, oh, that's cool, in passing things, and I just spaced out.
And Drum, what about you?
I saw a preview of it on Giant Bomb before it came out, and even in the pre-release video, it was just obvious that the game was doing everything right. So I made a note of it. I'm definitely going to pick it up eventually. And it just so happened, by the time I got around to it, it was for the Game Club right when Amazon had it on sale for like $3 or whatever it was, which I feel kind of bad about because it's an amazing game. They should have more money from me.
So you say it's amazing. So your overall impressions were pretty positive.
Yeah. Aside from a few control niggles, like if you're dragging a dead body into a side vent to hide it, and you have to drop it like right next to the vent. Sometimes it's tricky to be able to exit the vent again. But I think aside from that one, like dragging dead bodies and trying to switch from that to other things, everything else in the game works amazingly well. There's a lot of game, like, you know, Ninja Gaiden, Shinobi, all those, where there's these brief moments where you kind of feel like a ninja darting around the screen, laying waste to enemies like a ninja would, but this is the first game where it was just the entire game you felt like that.
Right, and it's also about, like, nobody knowing you're there.
Yeah.
Actually playing it like you actually are a ninja, not this stealthy, immortal, super-fast god of destruction, which media seems to really hype up.
Yeah, well, with Ninja Gaiden.
Yeah.
It's always been... I mean, there's never, like, in the shadows.
No. I mean, like just down to the core concept of it. Ninjas are assassins. Ninjas are fragile, but they're fast.
Right.
Most media, they're always, like, nigh indestructible, and or if they're in, you know, attacking you en masse, they're easy as hell to kill.
Yeah.
There's never been a stealthy, you know, this is what they're supposed to be sort of balance, I felt, until Mark of the Ninja, and that's part of what makes it so good.
BG, what did you think about it? Just so far.
Well, I second what was said earlier about the controls that were just, you know, kind of little things every once in a while. I'd be like, you know, with me, it wasn't the side vents as much as the bottom vents. Kind of not, for a while, I thought you just couldn't put bodies in bottom vents just because I kept trying to do it and it wasn't working right for me. But, you know, I also agree with, you know, what was said about the tone of it, that it actually feels more like what you would expect a game involving a ninja to feel like. And, the problem is there were things about it that disappointed me, but I kind of feel like it's my fault. And part of it is with the controls, and I kind of got the impression, and this was also true of Shank when I played that I felt like I was supposed to be playing with a gamepad instead of with a mouse and keyboard.
Oh, you played it with... You played Mark of the Ninja with mouse and keyboard.
Yes.
How did that...
I can't even imagine.
Yeah, how did that even... How did that go? I mean, you said it wasn't... I'm surprised... How does it control that way?
Well, I mean, it's you know, getting on a few weeks since I've touched it, you know, because we had that delay in doing this. But I'm just trying to... The mouse, really, you just use it for aiming when you're doing the... when you're in the paused, you know,
right,
aiming
right.
the darts and whatnot. And then it's just, you know, you have your movement and your jump on the keyboard, and then you can... There are a couple options you could use, either a right click or... I want to say it was the E key for a lot of the actions. But that was kind of my issue with the controls, that those, you know, the context sensitivity, you know, where it's one thing when you're doing one thing, it's something else if you're doing something else. And sometimes I'd be like, well, no, that's not what I wanted to do, and he ends up doing something else.
Exactly. Instead of dragging the body into the crate or putting it down, he keeps just opening it up, so you keep going back
right,
and forth.
Exactly.
Because one context is overriding the other, and it's not what you want.
And then my other issue, where I kind of feel like, well, I should have known better, was the story. And primarily, I guess, the way it ended.
Okay, well, we'll get to the ending in a little bit.
Yeah, I didn't want to go too far into that.
But story-wise, did you guys... I mean, I saw the the twist coming like a mile away. The twist. Oh, with, yeah. I mean, we can spoil everything, so don't even worry about.
We can. We don't. We don't have to care about our listeners.
Well, I don't think I've never worried about spoiling anything in previous things. So,
yeah, works.
If you don't want to spoil the game, you can stop listening until now.
Here is your warning.
Yeah. Yes. So I felt like that was it was pretty much a given from.
Well, I'm curious, Wick. What are you referring to as the twist? Because there's, I think there's parts that were somewhat obvious and parts that weren't as obvious.
Well, that you would think that your master was evil.
Right.
But then that all goes into like what ending you chose, you know? But let's just go into it.
let's do it.
Let's talk about the ending. So what did you guys choose on the ending? BG, what did you choose when it came down to like the?
Well, the one I chose first was killing the master.
Mm-hmm. Same with me.
Oh, you're bad people.
I went with that one too.
Oh.
Well, my thought was, you know, clearly no matter what you think about, you know, motivations and whatnot, clearly this guy has done something wrong, and it was like, well, if I don't do this, he's getting away with this then, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I just felt like that was the logical progression.
It seemed like the right thing to do, but then after doing both endings, it seemed like that was like the sad ending, you know, which is weird considering what the other ending is.
They're both pretty sad. Yeah.
You don't get a happy ending. Either you go with this mysterious chick who shows up from the beginning, and I didn't catch it until after I had played through the game twice and read TV tropes that she was what she was.
That she was an illusion the whole time.
Yeah, exactly. That she's a figment of his imagination. Because
do they drop hints of it throughout?
They do. They talk about how the longer the people have the tattoo, the more their sanity shakes, and how they can't be trusted. At the ending, when she's trying to talk to the ninja while the master is talking to him, he's like, "Who are you talking to? What's going on?" And if you play through it a second time and you watch all the cutscenes that she's in, the ninja is the only one that even acknowledges her entire existence.
Yeah.
So it's subtle, but unless you're really adept at catching it, like unlike me, it's gonna hit you by the end of it, where you're like, oh well, okay.
Yeah, I caught on right before the cutscene where your master was like, "Who are you talking to?" And because on the lead up to that, like usually throughout the game, she's like running beside you at parts when she's talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but the lead up to that section, she's talking to you, but she's not even there. She's not on the screen anywhere. It's like, wait a minute.
Yeah. I just thought it was, and the fact that she doesn't, you do the things and then she just drops in.
Yeah.
Like it was no problem for her to get through any of this.
I mean, that's a very video gamey thing to do, so it's easy to go along with that.
Right, which is exactly what I was doing.
Even sometimes where it seemed like it was impossible for her to get there because you're taking the only route. She even snarks about it at one point. She's like, oh, well, those things broke. I guess I'll have to find another route. And you're like, there is no other route. What are you doing? And then halfway down the level, poof, she's magically back. She drops from the ceiling. It's like, okay.
But so, yeah, go ahead.
Going back to the ending choice, I mean, leading up to the choice, I mean, for people who don't know, you're choosing between killing the imaginary guide that's been with you all this time and killing your master that sent you on this quest in the first place. But leading up to that decision, your guide, Aura, I think her name is.
Oka.
I
think that's what it is, yeah.
She's saying, you know, she's telling you how, like, all your entire clan are traitors, and after we kill the master, we're gonna go back and kill them all. I mean, you know, she's just basically declaring genocide on your entire clan here.
Right, right.
So, and that's what pushed me over the edge on choosing to off her instead of the master at the end.
That's another thing. I was just going to say, it's just after you make that choice, the ending, it's just, that's it. It's very abrupt, you know, and it's basically just, you know, credits.
With which one? When you killed...
With both of them.
Yeah.
And that was surprising to me, because I thought there'd be, you know, some kind of an epilogue beyond, you know.
In a way, there was no right choice.
Well, there was.
Well.
But neither of them are the kind of choice that's going to make you feel good about yourself at the end, because, oh, look, I accomplished the mission, the hero saved the day, and that's it. I mean, when you kill the master, it's because you've gone insane and you're listening to this illusion that's telling you, because your clan has stolen all these weapons and tried to adapt to the future, now that your ink has gone out. Like, you know, the flower symbols throughout the game and the ink that he used for the tattoo?
Mm-hmm.
Those all died off.
Right.
So the whole edge the clan had, they're suddenly running Windows 98 in a Windows 7 world. They're screwed. So he instigates the entire plot in order to get that weaponry and uses you as a way to take him out and acquire it so that the clan can survive. And the illusion chick sees this as, oh, that's dishonorable. You're not using the old ways. I'm going to have him kill all you off. Which, like Drum said, when he chose her route, that's the honorable thing to do. And that was like the good ending with quotes. Mm-hmm. Because all the tattoo bearers would end up killing themselves before they succumbed to the psychosis.
Right. Interesting. It's so much more deeper than I had even mm-hmm. thought about.
I read TV Tropes and I played through the game completely 3 times, so it took me a little bit to understand it.
Because I wasn't catching a lot of that. Like, I saw, okay, the flowers died, but, like, I'm like, okay, so what? And they kept talking about the master had some sort of failure, and from my perspective, it was never really explained.
Yeah, I thought the master's failure with the ink plants was a bit poorly explained, but...
Yeah, Good.
I found it mostly straightforward overall. The ending, I think, is interesting in that, you know, usually in video games, you know, you're playing the hero and there's always, you know, 99% of the times, no matter what you're up against, the hero finds a way to win out and come out alive, and everyone's more or less happy at the end. And on this one, it's you're playing out your fate that you chose at the beginning of the game when you accepted the mark of the ninja. You kill yourself or you go crazy and become a monster, and there's no escape.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting because I think that I guess maybe games in general kind of condition you to think, oh, they say this is going to happen with me, but my character is going to be different.
Right.
You think that you're not going crazy, but that's pretty amazing. I didn't really think of it that way. But
it happens to fit with the whole, you know, schema of a ninja and clan honor and all that other stuff. You wouldn't expect that from another ninja game, but these guys are really sticking towards the roots, and it shows in just about every aspect of the game.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. For sure. So you said you played through it 3 different times. Did you ever do a no-kill?
No. I did some levels as complete no-kill. I ran around with the Path of Silence on.
Which is, so, I mean, I didn't do any of the extra stuff, so what are the different suits that you can get? I saw you talking about them before.
Well, depending on if you got the, like, certain accomplishments in each stage you would unlock, they'd go towards unlocking different suits. One of them, it made you sturdier, it helped you knock down enemies more, but the time freeze ability when you're like marking things to throw your daggers at and such, uh-huh. that was removed. So it's kind of like, here's more health, go beat stuff up. You had one where you lost your distraction items, but if anyone saw you stealth killing something or they saw a dead body, they'd automatically become terrorized.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which was really useful. There was one...
What was that? The hunter?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, okay, yeah. You lost your distraction item, but instead of having to do a QTE command for every time you tried to stealth kill someone, because once you snuck up behind someone, for players who haven't played it, you would have to like press a direction and X in order to get the kill off silently. Otherwise, you're doing an improper kill, the guys are thrashing around, it's very noisy and bad. That suit removed that completely, so all kills were automatic, but you didn't get your distraction things. You had a plot-based one, which gave you the traditional ninja teleport, and then one that made it so running is silent, and you get two distraction items, but you don't have a sword, so you can't kill.
You don't have a sword?
No. Because the suit's been augmented to make it so if you run around, you don't emit any sound,
mm-hmm.
and you're carrying extra distraction stuff, you don't have room for a sword.
So that's the one you do the no-kill run with, probably.
It's the path of silence. So basically, you're running around nonstop, you're throwing smoke bombs, and you just get in and get out, and it was fun. It made me look at the levels I did it with in an entirely different light, because I couldn't just go, oh, as soon as he turns around, I can backstab. No, he was a consistent, whoever it was always a consistent barrier in the way, especially if I had to go back through that area a little bit later. Which I thought was really cool. Just by altering the rules a little bit, they make the entire span of the game an entirely new experience.
Wow, that's pretty cool. They added, like, I didn't do any of the extra stuff, so I didn't.
You didn't get the suits?
No, just the one that's you get for the story, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something I want to go back to. But how about the other two? Are you guys having any interest in doing a no kill or any of the stuff for like ever? What would need to be done for completion?
Well, I'm like halfway through a new game plus run right now,
mm-hmm.
which I'm trying to basically complete it on this run, where I'm getting all the scroll, which are like little optional sub objectives, like, you know, throw five bodies in a dumpster or go through the section without breaking lights or things like that. That's how you get some of the currency to use for your upgrades.
Mm-hmm.
But I think after you play it on New Game Plus, which is a harder mode, you start with all your unlocks from your normal run, but your vision is more limited. Like, it's blurred out behind you instead of being able to just see behind you normally. And you don't see, like, the noise rings when you're running, though I think you see them for everything else still.
No, just... like, if you notice the guards when they're walking around, those little tiny foot rings that they make, those are the only ones. They shut off all the other circles, and they severely limit your view and make the guards a bit less stupid.
I think you still get the circles when you're, like, throwing your daggers and stuff.
Don't remember seeing those.
I'm pretty sure. I the description made it sound like they were... gone, so I was surprised when I saw them still.
Maybe it's because you know, those, you only see those when you're in the time frozen whatever anyway.
Yeah, that could be.
So
yeah.
But I
think it'll be complete after that, and then I would like to go through and do the Path of Silence run just for fun after that.
Would you consider that a master run?
Probably not. I mean,
it's such a common thing, I guess. A thing that's usually considered for that game.
Maybe. I mean, it's not a difficult game.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things the game does really well is there's usually like two or three different ways you can tackle any room depending on the equipment you have. So, I mean, maybe the Path of Silence would really limit that, but I'm really not expecting it to.
Nah, like you said, there are multiple ways around everything, so as long as you have your distraction items, you have a route. Like, purposely limiting yourself from there, like what a couple of other backloggers were talking about, is doing the path that was least helpful to the player, and then doing no kills and no detections on top of that, along with no distraction items, unless they're necessary.
No distractions, that's crazy.
Yeah. So you can't be seen, you can't kill anybody. It's the path, the mark of might, or the path of might, where you don't have your time freeze anymore, but you're beefier because you know, whatever. So yeah. You got extra health you don't need. You got a sword you don't need. You've lost your precision aiming with your time freeze, and you can't use any of your distraction items on top of that.
Man.
Compared to that, Path of Silence is like easy street.
Yeah. But I don't think any of us have actually done that yet, so who knows how that would go.
No.
So, BG, you think you're going to come back to it?
I don't think so, and that's not even, you know, anything about the quality of the game. Just for me personally, usually for most games, when I beat them, I'm done with them, at least for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if I were to, I would just say, you know, new game plus and unlocking everything, I would say would be complete. I mean, I don't know what else you could add to that or even take away from that. I mean, I think it's complete when everything's unlocked. So.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's all I got, guys. Does anyone have any final comments that they would like to share?
I do.
Okay.
People should pick it up. They should play it. And they should look forward to the DLC that's coming out soon.
Oh, is there really?
Yep. There's a prequel stage that you play as the guy who gives the ninja the tattoo to give you more backstory. There's an additional attack item, additional distraction item, and I believe a second stage on top of that.
Really?
So it gives you more variety with your weapons, more variety for like non-lethal runs and what have you, and more stages and context for the entire scope of the game. And that's for both Xbox Live and Steam.
Any idea when it's supposed to be out?
They said this summer, so if not by the end of June, then maybe like by the end of July or something.
That's really good. I'm glad that they're going back and doing something like that. Mm. Because, I mean, the game's been out for, I want to say it's been out since the end of last summer.
Wasn't it a part of the Xbox Live Summer of Arcade for 2012?
It may have been. I don't know. I didn't follow the promotion last year. So
yes, September 12th, 2012.
Yeah. Okay.
So just shy of a year, and they're coming out with extra stuff for it to enrich the experience even more.
That's good. That's a good thing for them to do instead of just going out and doing. Inevitably, they're going to do a second one, I think. But it's nice that they're supplementing this. Anyone else have any final comments? Anything? What did everybody rate it? I mean, I think that's probably easy to gauge.
5 out of 5.
Yeah, same.
BG?
I'll give it a 4 out of 5. I don't do the half stars.
So. I still can't believe you did it with a mouse and keyboard. I can't even imagine.
I would say, though, anyone who's, you know, interested in any type of stealth games should, you know, at the very least, you know, try it. I'm generally really bad at them, but yeah, I did enjoy most of it, and that if I were to play it through again, I'm sure that now that I would kind of know what I'm doing, it would be not very frustrating at all. You know, I would know what I'm doing now, so if it were all knowing what I know now, but yet also not somehow having my brain divided, so I don't feel like I'm playing the same game again.
Right.
It would be really, really good. I don't know. I'm tired.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's one of those rare games that it's not hard, and I'm somewhat notorious for loving a challenge, but it does everything so well, and there's so much freedom even in the, you know, relatively small levels you're going through for how you approach everything, that it's just entertaining the entire time.
And it is, it's more of a puzzle game than it is anything else.
Yeah. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Well, puzzle and reflexes, but yeah, it's not like a button mashing hack and slash. It's not a platformer per se by itself. You got to figure out each situation.
Yeah. Actually, speaking of platforming, the sections where you were pulling levers to move boxes across the screen and fixing a ride were probably my least favorite, because, I mean, that's similar to stuff you do in a lot of games, and I was kind of disappointed they took it in that direction.
Like when you're riding the box up and there's the lasers and you have to be on certain sides of them?
Right.
Yeah, when it came to the challenges where you had to manipulate those to get the scrolls, those were okay, but having an entire section of an abandoned castle's catacombs be filled with a laser puzzle that you had to navigate or instantly die, that kind of slowed things down, and it felt jarring.
Yeah.
One thing I think is really cool about it is that at any given time, you're provided with all of the information you need to progress, and just like the way that they like color code things, you know, and you when you slow it down, you can see exactly if you shoot like the chandelier or something like that, you know exactly where it's gonna land, stuff like that. You're always given all the information that you need.
Yeah, I mean, just being able to plan out every little thing, because you know exactly how far the sound of all your moves is going to travel ahead of time. It's really cool.
Yeah. And it's all done visually instead of, you know, it doesn't give you any numbers or anything that like we have to worry about. Or meters or anything.
I mean, the only slight I could have against it as far as, you know, its take on stealth gameplay, I mean, it's bar none the best I've ever seen. But it doesn't get away from the fact that guards are complete morons.
Yeah, they really are pretty stupid. For sure. I mean, they're almost so stupid you feel bad when you like jam your sword up through their chin. It comes out the top of their head.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you can ping a guy with a dagger from across the hall, and he'll like come over like, was it? I must be imagining a dagger that hit me, and turn around when you slit his throat. And then his buddy down the hall can like watch that, but it's out of his line of sight, so you can do it again to him. It's like, well, you know, Mike went down the hallway, and I thought I heard screams, but I guess there's nothing here.
It was even worse than the several hallways where you had two guys standing next to each other under a light, talking to one another. And then as soon as one turns the other way to look at things, you backstab his buddy, and his body falls down and drag it away. His buddy turns around back, doesn't even notice the fact that his friend's been murdered and disappeared. Continues chilling for the hell of it. Oh, well, you know, whatever. I wasn't talking with anyone anyway. That's why I didn't feel bad, because they deserved it, because they were that dumb.
Well. All right. Well, I think that's all I got. It's a little bit shorter than normal.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a, you know, well done and to the point game. There's really not a whole lot to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, there's really not a lot of flaws. There's not. It's just very solid and well made.
I mean, did you guys have like any favorite distraction items or ones that you absolutely hated or anything?
I was really bad with the, I want to call them bear traps, but I know that they're not, but those, like the claw things.
The spike mind.
Yeah. Really bad with that. I don't think I ever got one to work. But other than that, I didn't use its distraction items very much. Honestly. I think
I would keep picking things other than the smoke bombs and then think, why did I pick anything other than the smoke bombs?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you can block the lasers, so, you know, that trumps everything.
Yeah. I use the smoke bombs quite a bit at certain times where you'd go in and you'd throw them in a group of guys and take them all out before the smoke cleared.
Though I did switch to the terror darts when I upgraded those because that was just more fun.
What did they do?
You
stick a guy with them and yeah, he'll automatically be terrorized, so he'll just shoot all his buddies in the room with him. And if you upgrade it, after like 10, 20 seconds or so of being terrorized, he'll turn the gun on himself and commit suicide.
It's very morbid. But I wanted to like those in theory, but I couldn't get like the terror part where he freaks out and shoots people to work well enough. Like, he'd just run around with his two or three buddies next to him. He'd just be like, the entire time, and then he'd get better.
Yeah, I never figured out why sometimes they shoot their buddies and sometimes they don't, but usually he would shoot his buddies for me, so it worked.
Yeah, when it did work, but it felt too unreliable, and with groups like that, I loved the smoke bombs, and I loved, was it? Why is my brain flatlining? There was the smoke bombs. There was the distraction flares. There we go. Because half of the stuff in the end game, they all had the night vision goggles and stuff on, like those female ninjas.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you just lure them down to a room, blind them, and do your smoke bomb, kill everyone in a dramatic flash.
So I don't think I ever used the flares.
Ah, they're good. And if you're going for the point-based honors for your completion, I would actually recommend those.
Yeah, I could see how that would help.
Yeah, because like the end game, several of the enemies are wearing the smoke masks. They can see you when you're moving around, and their only weakness is like explosives or attack traps or the smoke bombs, the distraction flares.
Yeah, I'm awful. I just like the upgraded terror darts because if there was just a guy alone that in an inconvenient place, I could stick him with the dart and just leave. And then off in the distance, I would just hear this fake gunshot when he offs himself and know that the job was done.
And suddenly, why you relish killing my rabbits and squirrels all makes perfect sense. You're just a monster.
It kind of makes me think of, did any of you guys ever play any of the Assassin's Creed games?
I haven't.
Yes. Well, okay.
No, but I have two of them.
Okay, well, at least in the second one, in the third one, not the like the real third one, but like the
Brotherhood.
Yeah, you can poison the guys, and they just go totally nuts. They'll just stand there and they'll kind of shake a little bit, and then they'll just like pull out their swords and just start flailing in the air and just like killing everybody around them. And everyone's just kind of like, "What's this guy doing?" And and eventually he'll just fall over dead. But it's just, I don't really see, it's like the poison is not actually poison, it's just making him hallucinate or something. But it makes me think of how probably the terror darts are, I guess. Anyways, well, thanks for joining me, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good times.
And I will be back next month with Final Fantasy VIII, which like we'll see what happens with that. What's up?